T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
857 Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Chilio with you. Tucker Bagley's behind the glass. You guys with us. 215-592-9494. That is how you hop aboard here on this Tuesday night, as we are just now 9 days away from opening day for the Philadelphia Phillies. I can't wait. Phillies Braves opening day. We now know it's going to be Aaron Nola on the mound, making his fourth consecutive opening day start. First Philly to do that since Steve Carlton, which is an amazing run. I mean, think about some of the pitchers that have been around here, from Cole Hamels to, you know, obviously Halliday and Lee were not here very long, but just the idea that, and even Curt Schilling, I mean, guys that have been star pitchers here, none of those guys have had four consecutive opening day starts. Let's see if Bob Wankel, our next guest here for Clearwater Check-In, knows why or what happened in between there. Because Curt Schilling made a bunch of opening day starts, Bob Wankel. He did not make four in a row. Did you know that about Curt before yesterday?
I didn't. I had to go look that up. So Sid Fernandez kind of broke up Curt Schilling's streak after that third season, and then Schilling came back and started the next two opening days. So interesting trivia check there for you.
Yeah, I would love to go back and find out why. Like, was Curt behind? Was he banged up a little bit? Because it's just so weird. I mean, Curt Schilling was a star. He had had the, you know, before that he had been an opening day starter after it, and yet El Cid for 1 year, I guess it was 95, I think it was, got the nod that year.
Yeah, I actually think it was 96, and Schilling, if I'm not mistaken, began the season on what was then called the disabled list. So that was why Fernandez had made that start, breaking up that string.
And it gives Aaron Nola the moniker of the first one since Steve Carlton. All right, so Bob Wankel with us here, Clearwater Check-In. We are 9 days away from opening day. And we actually have some Philly stuff to talk about as it plays out. They're playing a game right now down at Clearwater. Bob, let's start with the good, which is JT Realmuto making his spring training debut, and it looked like he was ready to go right from that first at bat.
Yeah, comes to the plate, first at bat, homers out the left field, line drive homer. So that's obviously very encouraging. He spoke with reporters. I was actually prepping for the call. I didn't hear the entire thing, but it seemed that he feels he'll be ready to go for opening day. Ultimately, it'll be up to the organization, but I think it's a pretty good bet at this point, barring any setbacks, that he'll be behind the plate come April 1st.
So, Bob, the one part of spring training that has been most, intriguing would be the word, is what the heck's going to happen in center field. And, you know, we kept debating Moniak or Quinn or Herrera, but it seems like at the last minute, as no one has truly run away with this job, that there might be a surprise entry, a guy who was my favorite to begin with, but then he got hurt. Adam Haseley, I guess, got healthier faster than we thought he would, and he got in the game tonight. He got a hit in one at bat tonight against the Blue Jays. Haseley's back in this thing.
Yeah, it would certainly appear that he is. He's scheduled to play and start tomorrow. He did get in tonight. He had a single out to left field in his first and probably only at bat tonight, and so it further complicates an already complicated situation. I mean, you have Roman Quinn, you had Odubel Herrera, who got off to a pretty fast start, and the one thing I'll say, and I feel pretty confident as I try to sort through this situation, and the one thing that I feel confident in is that Roman Quinn will be on the opening day roster. I think that the Phillies like a lot of his tools, and frankly, I know that he hasn't been ultra impressive this spring, but he is hitting over 300. His OPS is over 800. The biggest thing with Roman Quinn, who also homered tonight, is that he just doesn't put the ball in play enough. He's struck out in over a third of his plate appearances this spring. And, you know, that's no good, and it certainly does not really benefit the type of player that he can be when he's putting the ball in play on a consistent basis. So with Haseley back, I think that he is also on the opening day roster, assuming that his health holds up here. So then that leads me to one consideration, and it's do you put Odubel Herrera, who is slumping right now and comes with considerable baggage, on this roster over a guy like Matt Joyce, who really would hold down and probably be a, you know, an outstanding option as a pinch hitter? You know, you need 40-man spots. This is kind of a puzzle that they have to put together here. And I think it's going to come down to, do you value the potential upside, you know, everyday potential of Odubel Herrera, or do you value the skill of the pinch hitter in Matt Joyce? And so the Phillies have quite a dilemma on their hands here.
Yeah, it's a roster management puzzle they have to figure out. Now, when we say 40-man roster spots, just to, for people listening to figure out what the heck we mean, if they bring a guy who's not on the 40-man roster, let's say a Matt Joyce, and put him on, someone has to be removed. Now, Bob, the process there, correct me if I'm wrong, it doesn't mean the Phillies have to lose that player. They could, but let's just say they take a guy off the 40-man to put a non-40-man on, Roman Quinn, for instance. I mean, conceivably, if no one claimed him, and someone might, but if no one claimed him, he could just head back to AAA. It doesn't mean they're going to lose the player.
That's correct. In the case of Roman Quinn, I don't think that he's a player that they're going to be able to sneak through. But they do have guys that are kind of on the bottom or in the bottom section of that 40-man that I do think they could potentially sneak through. And maybe a couple guys that they're just not even that high on that they would be comfortable losing in the event that that were to happen. And you know, one of the things that further complicates this is they have quite a similar dilemma in the bullpen. I mean, you have Brandon Kinstler, who's a guy that is not currently on the 40-man. And you have Tony Watson, who's not currently on the 40-man. And Tony Watson gave up another run tonight and hasn't been, you know, extremely impressive this spring. But he's a seasoned veteran who can get out guys from both the left and right side of the plate, guys from the left side and right side, both under 300 on base percentages, you know, throughout Watson's career. They have a real decision to make there. And a guy like Sam Coonrod, who they went out and traded for from the Giants, it was one of Dave Dombrowski's first moves when he got here. Fastball in the high 90s. Some concerns over his control. That's been pretty tight this spring. Sub-1 whip. I mean, you know, and they do have options for him. And I think it's going to come down to, do the Phillies want to make another 40-man move and put Tony Watson on? Or do they just roll with Sam Coonrod, a guy who's been very impressive? So There's similar dilemmas and considerations in the bullpen, which further complicates the situation out in center field.
Bob, how would you go about, if you were in charge, like prioritizing this thing? Because like we're saying, it's a puzzle, or it's almost like it's like a scale. You're weighing the scale. Like, once they make a decision somewhere, even if they don't want it to, it has to affect another area, because now we might be running out of spots here. Would you prioritize making the best bullpen possible for opening day, and then however many spots you have left, that will affect how you go about the bench and the outfield? Or would you go about center field, bench, and then kind of play with the spots left in the bullpen?
Yeah, in a perfect world, I would tell you that none of these guys in center are significantly better than the other. So the priority should be in the bullpen. The issue with that is that they're in a spot where Scott Kingery hasn't performed this spring. And so if you completely overlook your bench, I mean, I assume that Scott Kingery is going to be on the opening day roster, though I'm not sure that's the best thing for the player or the team at this point. You know, I just think that you run the danger of having an egregiously thin bench if you just prioritize the bullpen. So that's to answer your question, there's just so many different issues in the bottom part of this roster that I don't know how they're going to strike that balance.
Bob Wankel joining us here, Crossing Broad. It is a roster puzzle. They have to figure out, they have 9 days to do it before the opener. Bob, some good news, though, on some of the injuries, including Zach Eflin. I mean, that was a worry last week with his back, but it seems like the way Girardi spoke yesterday that they're not really worried now after he pitched on a side over the weekend, and it sounds like they think he's going to make that third start of the season.
Yeah, it looks like everything is kind of locked in there. You know, if Zach Eflin is ready to go, he'll pitch on Easter Sunday, I believe, and so you'll have Aaron Nola making the opening day start, Zach Wheeler going in the second game, followed by Eflin. And I think at this point, it's pretty clear that both Matt Moore and Chase Anderson are going to hold down those number 4 and 5 spots. So that's one thing that I think we have clarity on. And frankly, I think we've had clarity on the starting rotation now for a while. The injury concern to Eflin was definitely problematic, but I think that this is shaping up where all 5 guys should be good to go heading into the season.
Bob, I know we've spoke about him a little bit over the last month when you've been on the show, but every time I watch Jose Alvarado, I am more and more impressed. I mean, we've heard the story how much weight he lost in the offseason, and it just looks like, and this happens once in a while, a guy, he gets moved, his original team doesn't want him, a fresh start, and He kind of refocuses his career. Dave Dombrowski made a lot of moves, and I'm hoping for him and the Phillies a lot of them work out. This one feels like it has a chance to be the one we talk about in June, July, August. Like, wow, they got Alvarado for nothing, and he's just electric. Because right now, he looks unhittable.
From a stuff standpoint, he is the best option in the back of the Phillies bullpen. And I wonder, I think that the prevailing wisdom was a month ago that Archie Bradley would hold down the ninth inning for this team. But I think in light of what we've seen here over the past few weeks, that it's entirely possible that Jose Alvarado ends up getting some save opportunities. I don't, you know, the only worry I have with that, and it's just you hear the Phillies talk about him just glowingly. Certainly when you look at him, you see why he's so difficult to hit. You know, you don't want to give a guy too much too soon, though, right? Like, you know, can you just maybe look at it and say he's been super impressive? Let's just maybe leave him in that seventh, eighth inning role. Let some maybe more of the more established guys with more closing experience hold down the closer role, at least at the start of the season. But again, when you look at this bullpen and how it's all kind of shaking out, if Alvarado pitches the ninth inning, I think that increases the importance of having another lefty in the bullpen, you know, and specifically in Jojo Romero, who was a guy that a month ago I wasn't entirely sure was going to be part of the bullpen, but now I think he's sort of worked his way into the mix for sure.
Bob, where do you stand? Maybe it could change based on this particular team, this bullpen, this group. But just in general, you know, we've seen more and more now as the years have gone on. You know, teams have less and less roles. I mean, there's maybe 10 teams that have that true closer. But even those teams don't use their bullpen the same way each night in terms of role, in terms of spots. Girardi has said, he said it last year, it didn't work out. But he's even said at this spring training that he would like to have those kind of roles. Do you think it's important? Do you think that they should do that? Because I look at it as they have a lot of different kind of options, and I would hate to pigeonhole, well, you know, well, Archie Bradley has to be a seventh or eighth inning or ninth inning guy, because, you know, that might be a spot that is just better for Romero or better for Watson or better for Kinsler, depending on that. Where do you stand on that?
Yeah, in theory, I'm not married to having defined roles. I do know that Jose Alvarado, though, specifically talked about just wanting to know what his role is. So, ironically, that is the one guy that I think you need to go to and say, this is our plan for you. You know, and not that it can't be subject to change, but I do think that he would like a definitive role. And so to that end, I think it's really important to just know your personnel, know your pitcher's personalities. Are they kind of cool rolling with the punches, being a sixth inning guy one night because it's a high leverage situation, and maybe being an eighth or ninth inning guy two nights later? If you have guys that are kind of agreeable to being versatile, though, I think in theory you kind of want to mix and match depending on the situation, the hitter's profiles. And I think there's a lot of different considerations that should go into it in an ideal world. But again, I do think it comes back to kind of satisfying your players, because at the end of the day, confidence and comfort, I think, is you know, tremendously impactful in player performance. So that's the way that I sort of view that.
Last one for you, Bob Michael, Crossing Broad. We are 9 days till opening day. Bob, assuming health, and that's always a big assumption, but assuming health, there seems to be less mixing and matching that will happen with the everyday lineup. They have a bunch of set players, and I saw Joe Girardi talking about how Alec Bohm's such a good guy with runners in scoring position. He's so calm. We know McCutcheon is the leadoff hitter. Hoskins really settled into that two spot last year, Bryce at three. So I'll throw this lineup at you. Tell me if you think this will be something we could see regularly. McCutcheon, Hoskins, Harper, Real Muto, Bohm, Didi, Segura, center field. Do you feel like that could be the lineup we see most nights?
I actually have a piece of paper here because I was wondering if the lineup question would come up, and that's exactly how I had it written out. So you and I, you know, I think we agree on a lot of things when it comes to baseball. I think we're seeing the starting lineup the same way.
Yeah, that's you know what? That's a good lineup. You know, we'll see how this team pitches and health and the bullpen, but they should score runs with that lineup.
Yeah, I think especially if Didi Gregorius repeats his season from a year ago. You know, he's the one guy. He's off to a little bit of a slow start this spring, but a consistent performer throughout the years. And if he replicates what he did in 2020, I think this is going to be a potentially a top five or six lineup in baseball.
It is going to be fun to watch, and we get to start watching it for real next week. Bob, always appreciate hopping on. We'll be reading it Crossing Broad. Thank you.
Sure, thanks, man.
There he goes. Bob Wankel of Crossing Broad joining us to talk some Phillies there.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.